Hey there, Kanto Nation. Blue here.
And Yellow.
We just wanted to take a moment to thank you for listening to KantoCast. Though the episodes aren't cracking out as consistently as we'd like, your support is what keeps us going to deliver great content to you, our listeners, fans, and friends.
If you want more interaction with us on social media, hit up our Twitter links in the description and join the Kanto Nation community.
Becoming a part of the Kanto Nation is awesome, and I'm sure everyone who's already done so would agree.
And if you want to help support the show in more ways than one, feel free to head over to our Patreon. The link for that is also in the description.
There you can find out what awesome benefits await you for your completely unnecessary, but always appreciated donations and support. But for right now, please enjoy this episode of KantoCast. Welcome to KantoCast, episode 43, a.k.a. the KantoCast Crew Sick Edition. I am KantoCast Blue, and I am, as always, joined by my wife, Yellow. This is where you say something. Make it good, though.
Now I'm under pressure.
Aw, you failed. The hype was real, and then you just botched it. So if I sound sick...
Because you are.
I am.
I was sick.
I've been holding off recording for a couple days.
It just gets worse. I told you that.
But I was like, there's so much happening that I can't not record. So I'm going to do it. And it's going to sound awful. And it's going to be on the internet forever. But I don't care. We're going to do it.
I just had a Miguel run through my head.
That was so exhausting. Just saying that. That said,
just start breathing into the microphone. It's not like you can't get
we
it
have
sicker, right?
A lot to talk about, so we're gonna. Wouldn't it be weird if I was like that all the time?
Yeah.
Just like constantly. I
just kind of
not
like laugh, coughed.
You did. It was weird, and it was right in my face, which is probably how I got sick the first time.
Well, you know what? I live in a bubble, and you work at a drugstore, so that's probably how I got sick in the first place.
So here's the thing, guys. I have to sleep on my left side because of a minor injury that occurred a long time ago.
It wasn't minor. It was pretty major.
And Well, it's uncomfortable to sleep on my right side. And someone over here demands a certain side of the bed and likes to roll over and breathe on me.
I have offered multiple times to switch sides of the bed.
This is way more than they probably want to know. Anyway, that's how I got sick. Yellow breathed her germs on me.
I was sick during the entire time when we were streaming.
I feel like I got it way worse, though. Like,
anytime
I get sick, I bounce back in a day. And this is, like, day four or five
I was
for me
sick
now.
For, like, a week, and you were just kind of, like, suck it up.
I totally said that. I'm not wrong, though.
And you're being kind of a baby about it. And when I'm, like, suck it up, you give me the weirdest look. And I try and give you a hard time,
I literally came home from a 10-hour shift. What's for dinner? Literally whatever you want to order or go pick up.
I didn't ask you what's for dinner. You walked in the door and you said, don't even ask me what's for dinner. Make it yourself or order it.
Because I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. Because that's literally what happens every single time. Anyway.
We are so off topic.
Well, that's okay. That's why people listen. Waluigi. That's a new Mario brother, probably. Waluigi. I'm not even on cold medicine. I wish I could blame my incoherent rants on cold medicine, but I can't. Anywho, so...
What are we going to be talking about today?
We're going to talk about a lot of stuff, so bear with us, because we're breezing through some things. We got spring regionals. There was the competitions that have been announced. Manaphy Month is a thing. Hashtag Manaphy Month. I don't know if that's a hashtag, but if it is not, we're going to do it now. There's also, I have show notes somewhere, but I'm not using them because I don't believe in that. Oh, yeah, Pokemon news happened on the 2nd. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
I love that that's the thing I forgot about.
The thing that just happened?
Oh, guys.
You're so sick and your struggle. Brain is being, like, scrambled. And me, who always has a scrambled brain, knows how to work through it. And you're just like, system overload, system freak out.
Do you guys,
what am I thinking? I have no idea.
Do you guys watch, if you guys have ever watched Parks and Rec, you might remember a character by the name of Chris Traeger, who got the flu on an early episode in like season 3 or something like that. And he goes, my body is a microchip. The microchip has been compromised. That's pretty much what I feel like right now.
That's really funny that was your reference.
My brain.
And on Twitter, my reference was Bubble Boy. And I said, the bubble has been compromised or something like that.
I mean, it's not a terribly uncommon phrase.
I hate you. Let me have this.
No. You got me sick. Anyway, so we're going to make a run. I just coughed a lot. And now I'm going to try and talk normally. So, Spring Regionals were a thing that happened. And we are going to talk about some of the teams that got posted from Wisconsin, Georgia, which I wish I would have gone to, and then Washington. So, some of the bigger regionals that took place this spring. Some just a couple weeks ago. So, first of all, we have Diana Bros, who is a lady.
A lady Pokemon player.
Who won the Wisconsin Regionals, which are big. The Wisconsin Regionals are big.
Wasn't that one streamed and Shady Penguin and everything was there?
Wisconsin's always streamed, yeah. You have big names like Colin Heyer. You have big names like James Beck and Ashton Cox. And all of these people just going to Wisconsin. Wisconsin's like a big region. It's kind of like the Philadelphia regional or the Lancaster, I guess Lancaster was last time. The one that I went to in November. Like, that's a big one. This Wisconsin one might be bigger. Actually, the Madison regional might be bigger. So the winning team from Diana had Kyogre, Groudon, both in their primals, Bronzong, Thunderous Incarnate, Ferrothorn, and Mega Salamence. So double primal, double flying, and double steel. And that, I think, is kind of crazy. Toler Webb won Georgia, North Carolina boy, says to myself. I had the pleasure of meeting Toler at a premier challenge that I went to a couple months ago.
Did you actually meet him or just see him in the room?
I sat next to him.
Did you say hi?
We did. I was in the top four at that point, and it quickly went downhill because Scissor Thunderous is danger. In VGC 2015. That's a dangerous lead.
I guess so.
I was very ill prepared.
I remember sitting in that GameStop or Game Shop.
It was not a stop.
I know. My mouth went away with me.
Only one of us can be incoherent at a time. Otherwise, everything falls apart.
To make my words better ish. I don't know what I'm saying.
That was bad. Anyway, Toler Webb ran a team of Weavile, Cresselia, Smeargle, Xerneas, Mega Salamence, and Groudon. Primal Groudon, in case you're wondering.
Did you say Smeargle really lightly?
Did I say? Oh, yeah, I guess I did say Smeargle. Oops. That wasn't a mistake. That actually was on his team.
You can't just whisper it and expect people not to know that it was there.
So, yeah, Smeargle was there, and it did some stuff. Anyway, relatively standard team. Compared with a lot of what we've seen, Mega Salamence getting like super popular. I know way early in the meta, Mawile was the big intimidator, and then you had Mega Mawile, which Mega Mawile was really big in early 14, early 15 too. So that's kind of cool. I'm a big proponent of Mega Salamence. I don't know how I feel about it in this meta, just because of all of the legends and the ice beams and the Dracos that get dropped and all of that, so I'm not sure how I feel about Mega Salamence. It's not bad. Thomas Nishimura won the Washington Regional with a team of Thunderous Incarnate, Kyogre, Amoongus, really solid core right there, Weavile, Groudon, and Mega Salamence, and both double primal team. Double primal teams are big right now. I know, who was it? Alex Igloza was a huge proponent of Double Primal early on its inception. So definitely a strong team, Double Primal. If you guys are looking to do some stuff with VGC 2016, maybe last-ditch efforts for CP or something like that, or just playing for fun, Double Primal teams are strong because you don't really have to worry about Weather Wars because you have two. It's, you know, I'm a big fan of Double Weather.
Double weather all the way across the sky. I should probably stop.
That was oddly relevant, actually. I was like, wait, I know where she's going with this, but
yeah,
it actually kind of works.
So intense.
Don't sing when you're sick. It's not. I'm so sorry. Please keep listening. Anyway, the remaining teams had some of the oddballs, like Mega Manectric, which was cool. We saw Crobat. Which was super popular, and then it became less popular. And now people are like, well, it's still really good, but we're not going to use it as much. Mega Mawile, which I just kind of mentioned. Raichu, which is pretty solid. Yveltal, which is sweet. Gengar, Scizor, Togetic, which I'm like, Togetic, really? Yeah, Togetic. Zapdos, and Sableye. Sableye made an appearance at some of the regionals. If you guys want a complete list, we are going to link you to that below. You can actually go check out the top 8 teams from, I believe, Masters and Seniors, and then top 4 for Juniors from all 3 regionals. They only did top 8s, and then a top 4 for Juniors, mainly because attendance is down.
I mean, you think that's just because people aren't in love with the format right now?
Well, you gotta remember, there's a cap that's been put on, right? So people who maybe aren't going to get travel awards, who do have CP for Worlds, probably not traveling to the regionals to, you know, get placed and then not get CP because there's a cap. You know, there's probably a lot of factors. I know the format's not super popular. A lot of it comes down to, like, speed tie, RNG, impressiveness, blades. Is that a thing? Let's make that a thing. You know, it's a lot of, I don't know. You really have to be in love with the format to stick it out, because I get so frustrated with VGC 16. I really do. Those of you guys who came to the stream know that Slurpuff is OP. Not that we really got to use it that effectively, but I want to see it. I want to see it do things. But, I mean, I don't know. It's a lot of Smeargle. Toler Web Smeargle actually was nothing but support, in case you were wondering. It had Dark Void, Crafty Shield, Wide Guard, and King Shield with Moody and Mental Herb. So literally, like, put things to sleep, bounce things back, and then protect literally everything. It's almost infuriating how annoying that thing probably was. And Mental Herb is definitely a good item to have on that, because a lot of times you'll see Sash or Scarf Smeargle. Mental Herb is probably the third popular. But if you run literally nothing but support on the Smeargle, you're definitely going to want Mental Herb.
Okay, I have a question. If you were running a Smeargle.
A Smeargle?
A Smeargle.
Is that with a bagel?
Yep.
And a Schwitz?
A bagel and Smeargle. If you were running
Smeargle
one.
And a Schwitz?
How would you run yours?
I wouldn't.
I'm just curious.
I wouldn't.
If you had to.
Nope.
If you absolutely. Nope. How?
Nope.
Please.
Nope. I would never run Smeargle. And that kind of leads me into my next rant, which I will gladly go into. I feel like it takes all the fun and creativity out of team building. I really do. Because, like, the challenge and enjoyment that I get in Pokemon is team building. And that includes finding Pokemon, whether they're, like, common and I reinvent ways to use them, or, like, there are things that people have forgotten about for years because they're bad. But I like to go in and find them and use them to fit roles for the teams that I build, not creating Pokemon, literally creating the Pokemon to fit the role that is missing from my team. And that's what Smeargle does, so.
I can see why it's popular for that reason,
it's though. It's like a universal puzzle piece for team building, and I hate that, because when the team comes together with 6 different Pokemon that meld so well together, and you've not seen it on a team before, and you're like, oh, I'm using it like this instead of like this, and that's really cool. Like, it's so rewarding for me like Snarlcanine. Bulky Snarlcanine was probably like the pinnacle for me. In fact, my VGC Lancaster team is probably the best competitive team that I have ever built next to Weird Rain. Because Weird Rain is just ridiculous. But that Mega Metagross team is probably the greatest thing that I have ever built. And like that's why I'm so protective of it. Because I love it so much. But like I could have just had Smeargle do all of those things, but I don't want to. It's a Smeargle, and that like takes all the fun out of it. And honestly, like when you add Moody with it, it's so broken. It's broken to begin with because it literally can learn anything. One of the reasons Darkrai is probably banned is because of its ability, or not ability, but its signature move, Dark Void. And guess what? Smeargle freaking learns it. And it gets Moody, which is a broken ability. Like, everything associated with Smeargle is banned on Smogon. And there's probably a good reason for that. I mean, I will take Minimize Chansey over Smeargle all day. All day, every day. Because at least that has some kind of, like, setup concept. Like, you have to build around a Minimize Chansey somehow. Smeargle, you can just, like, cookie cutter into your team, and it's, I don't know.
Is it, like, I mean, it's not exactly the same as, like, cheating or taking the easy, I mean, I guess it is kind of taking the easy way out. If you're being more of a purist and saying that because Smeargle can learn anything, that it's not the same as team building with specific, like, specifications so that puzzle piece comes together
well,
in a way.
Well, here's the thing. Smeargle lets you create teams that maybe wouldn't have existed before. Because maybe you want to pull off some kind of concept or idea that only works with four really oddball moves that can't be put together on a team because of, like, an absurd amount of shared weaknesses or, you know, something. Something like that. Smeargle can fit the bill, and then you can, you know, do stuff with that team that you envisioned because of Smeargle. But the challenge for me is making that work without using a universal piece like that. And that's what I love the most about team building, is coming up with a concept or an idea and then bringing that to life in a unique way that doesn't involve just slapping moves on a Pokemon that can learn anything to make it work.
I mean, I get that.
I like to get it to fit. I don't like to make it work. That's the reward that I get out of it. I think that it's kind of lazy. And honestly, I think that the Pokemon community should be more divided over lazy team building options like that than this whole genning debate nonsense. I really do. We're all in it to have a good time, we're all in it to have fun, and we're all here to, like, test our wits against each other, right?
Yeah.
Lazy team building is, like, the opposite of that.
Could you say that, like, Chalk was lazy team building?
Kind of.
Because it
fit. But, I mean, the initial idea of Chalk was brilliant.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was relatively easy to run, anybody could pick it up and use it, and, you know, you played with it, and everything synergized really well. It was broken as all get out, but maybe it was too broken to the point they had to introduce primals and legendaries into the format, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it became an issue once everybody started using it, and then that was it. But I'll have you know, my Lancaster team, or my VGC 15 team, spits in the face of Chalk.
So it was like anti-Chalk.
Yeah. It's a very anti-meta team. I mean, I've laddered so many times with it, even on, you know, both Battle Spot and on the Showdown tier. Like, it's not... Chalk isn't impossible to beat. But when you have a format like 16, where you've got, you know, some legendaries are better than others. Primals, I would argue, are better than others. Rayquaza, probably the best mega, because it doesn't have to have a Mega Stone. It can have Life Orb or Focus Sash, and the move that it has to have to Mega Evolve is, like, super ridiculously strong.
Are we
its ability cuts its weaknesses in half.
Are we seeing a team develop somewhat similarly to Chalk?
Yeah, it's called the Big Six.
What, I guess, have we already talked about those Pokemon already?
Kind of. I mean, you guys know what the Big Six are. That's what I mean when I say, like, there are some legendaries that are better than other. The Primals, for example, are better than, say, Lugia. And I love Lugia. I freaking love Lugia. I'm trying to make it work on a team right now. It's not going to happen because its attack is too low. And without multi-scale, like, it's just not beneficial. You have oddballs like Giratina on teams that when they're not prepared for them, it will wreck you. But, you know, primarily, it's primals that are kind of winning the VGC 16 format. And it's, you know, and that happens once a meta develops. You start to realize, like, oh, this is definitely better than that, so I should always run this. And I mean, people are going to do that if they want to win. It's the same reason they use chalk. People use chalk because they want to be consistently good. And that's what chalk is. It's consistently good. Because you have RNG in your favor almost all of the time. You have a really good defensive and offensive core with chalk. Like, it's just good. It's good synergy. And it's a very consistent way to pick up wins against any kind of team. Weather, non-weather, whatever. It all comes down to how you play it. And in the hands of an experienced player, whether it be chalk or the Big Six, you are going to see a lot of domination. And that's what I mean when I say, you know, a lot of stuff is going to come down to RNG and speed ties. Like, that's what's going to decide a match. That's what's going to end the game in 3 turns this year instead of the previous year, which, you know, may have gone 15. You don't know. And that's, I don't really know where I'm going with this rant, but I feel like I made a point somewhere.
You made multiple good points.
But yeah, I'm like that. That's as much as I want to talk about the Big Six and the domination of VGC 16. I did mention the Jenning issue, which I'm sure you guys are probably familiar with at this point, but I'm going to save that for a later time, I think, because that is a topic that is a little more complicated than me just like ranting in front of a mic for 5 minutes. So I'm not going to speak to that yet, but I will. I promise. So moving on, if you actually still want to play in VGC 2016,
after
I just bashed it, let's see. I don't think I bashed
it. No,
I spoke to its benefits and flaws.
I think that's the same opinion you've had since it started, really.
I critically analyzed. Let's call it that. Let's call it a critical analysis of the format and, I don't know, Big Six domination. Anyway, the June International Challenge has been announced. Sign-up begins from the 16th through the 23rd of this month, which is June, and it begins on the 24th and runs through the 26th Universal Time. So, if you're Eastern, that's like 7, 8 p.m.-ish on the 24th. So that should be pretty cool. We're going to have a link to that below if you want to check it out. I mean, it's you guys are familiar with international challenges by now, I'm sure. I actually competed in the last international challenge, and I don't think I ever told you guys. I placed and got CP because I'm a baller.
That's pretty awesome.
Sometimes I get lucky and I do good things and make smart plays. And that last international challenge was one of them.
Was that because you didn't mess up on your team?
That's true.
It was like the first time that was you one didn't of the... like miss a move or something or other.
Well, no, that was one of those rare times where like I had the team ahead of time and I was like, I'll just use this. I don't have to build anything for it. So I didn't like not get something from a move tutor or forget that this was an egg move only or, you know, stuff like that. I did all the legwork beforehand and then just used it because I was on battle spot with it. So yeah, I earned 3 CP. I wasn't anywhere high on the list, but I did crack the top 250, I think is what it was, to get CP. So I mean, that's cool.
Accomplishment.
Plus I now have enough play points to compete at Nats.
Are you gonna be competing?
I don't know.
You haven't decided yet?
So here's the thing about competing at Nats. If I do, I'm probably not gonna make it out of day one. So I still get to hang out with you guys for like 2 days, which to me is a win. So I'm probably going to do it and then get bonked out like I figured that I would and then just go about my time normally like I had planned. That's my plan.
Okay.
If they have side events, I think Kevin and I are going to do some stiffs, like multi-battles or
something. I just want Pokemon cards.
Yeah, we're going to talk about prizes in a minute, Yellow.
Okay.
Calm down. Spoilers, there are no more Pokemon cards. Anyway, Manaphy Month.
Still not cool.
Manaphy Month is a thing, you guys. We're going to have links to that also. If you want to see what Manaphy stuff you're getting, there's like plushies and cards. And for us gamers on the cartridges, my brain still isn't working, guys. I'm so sorry.
On the 3DS.
Most importantly, you get Manaphy in-game via the Nintendo Network on any Aorus or XY games, whether it's the download or the cart. It is available until June 24th, which I'm pretty sure is when the International Challenge starts. So lots of stuff happening before the 24th. Get on it. If you want to pick that up, just go to Mr. Gift and utilize the Nintendo Network option to pick that up. A lot of you guys I've seen on Twitter, a lot of you guys have gotten it already, so good. I know a lot of us have missed a lot of them lately. Namely, what was it? Darkrai, I think we slept on. I think we slept on Xerneas a little bit. Maybe Bacon Bird. I think everybody got Bacon Bird.
I got like the first one and I don't even know.
Zygarde?
Yeah.
It's because I downloaded it on your game. New prizes for Nats and Worlds have been announced. So here's the really cool thing, right? For the first time ever, they are offering cash prizes or scholarships to players over 18. So here's the breakdown. For Nats, for U.S. Nationals, if you're 18 and older, first through eighth gets the option of a scholarship or cash. Ninth and lower gets cash. Here's how the placements run. TCG, first place gets $10,000, either cash or a scholarship, like I said. Any of these numerical values, these monetary values that I'm giving you guys, are either scholarship or cash, unless they're ninth or lower. So TCG, $10,000, $10,000 for nationals, if you win nationals. Second place is $5,000. Third and fourth is $2,500, $2,500. Fifth through eighth, you're going to look at $1,500. And ninth through 16th, you make out with a cool grand. And then also, we're looking at 17th through the 32nd. You are going to take home $750. And then 33rd through 64th place, you get a cool 500.
Okay, so you're definitely participating.
That's TCG, though. That's TCG.
Oh.
It's like way higher for TCG.
Oh,
VGC.
Well, okay, then.
VGC, your first place winner gets $5,000. And again, first through eighth, you get the option of a scholarship or cash. Ninth and lower is cash
Wait,
only.
So the first place for VGC is half of what it is for TCG.
Correct. It's pretty much all half. Second place is $2,500. Third and fourth, you're looking at $1,500. Fifth through eighth, $750. Ninth through 16th is $500.
All right, so someone needs to teach me how to play TCG.
So VGC, you have a top 16, and then TCG, you have a top 64.
Here's why I think maybe they did that. It takes a lot more dedication.
Because cards are way more expensive.
And they're way more expensive.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
It's more,
I guess.
It's like,
I
know.
I feel like there's a lot more competitors for TCG than VGC this year, too. Which might also be why they're
doing
was it four times? Yeah, four times the top cut for that. Wow, that's a lot. So Worlds is pretty similar. So the age requirements are still the same as U.S. Nationals. First through 18th, you get scholarship or cash. And then 9th and lower is cash. And then 18 and older, you get the option of cash or scholarship. If you're under 18, you gotta take the scholarship. I don't know if I mentioned that. But if you're under 18, no cash. Nada. No dinero para tu. Did I say that right?
Pretty much.
I'm so sorry I butchered it. Anyway, so TCG, are you ready? For Worlds, $25,000.
Oh my goodness.
$25,000. Second place, $15,000. Third and fourth, $7,500. $7,500. Fifth through eighth, $5,000. Ninth through 16th, $2,500. And 17th through 32nd place gets $1,500.
Seriously, TCG, how do I do this?
VGC, first place gets $10,000. Second place gets $7,500. Third and fourth get $5,000 apiece. Fifth through eighth get $3,000. And then ninth through 16th take home a cool $1,500. So, yeah. I mean, that's...
I mean, I feel like they could just at least throw you a bone if you're, like, what was it, 17th through 32nd or 17th through the 64th?
In... Which one? For...
No, for VGC, because they could throw you, like, $500 or, like, $200 or something. Well, but they cut it off right there at 16.
I mean, they did top 16 for both Nats and Worlds. World's TCG only has a top 32, whereas Nats has a top 64 for the trading card game. And again, I feel like maybe because San Francisco is kind of expensive and, you know, travel awards were just a little bit less than luster this year. So maybe they're trying to pull back on the top cut for prizes.
I don't know, because I feel like this sets a precedent.
Although it's kind of ridiculous.
It sets a precedent for next year. $25,000?
$25,000
next year.
Yo, $25,000.
Wait, is this for all of the age groups?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, yeah. They're like giving away hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I mean, good for them because it's really promoting interest. I mean,
good for them. I hate them. I can see the look in Yellow's eyes right now. It is that of envy and jealousy.
Should have started learning TCG a long time ago.
Maybe we will. Yellow learns TCG.
I don't know.
I need to get somebody who knows TCG on the show. I really do.
Take note. How to play.
Take note, any listeners. If you're good at TCG, hit me up. So yeah, I mean, Nat's prizes are kind of bonkers. World's prizes are even more bonkers. And this doesn't even include swag, you guys. This does not include swag. You get gift bags, you get medals, you get trophies, you get the fame and glory, if you're into that. And then, you know, ridiculous cash. And I feel like people were complaining. I don't want to offend, but I'm going off of information that I saw briefly on Twitter weeks ago, and I feel like European players were disappointed with the prize pool.
I don't know if I can speak to that, but I can speak to the fact that I think that the TCG players have a better deal on this.
Again, you know, their matches are crazy long.
I know.
They have to invest a lot more in their game. I totally get it. Like, you know, when you're a VGC player, you got to spend $40 on a new game every other year. And, you know, a new system every, like, 5 or 6 years for, like, $200. So, you know, annually you're in it for, like, $100. TCG players are probably in it a lot more. Yeah, well, I mean, TCG players got to invest time, too.
Well, also, I think the TCG meta turns over
faster. TCG players do not have to soft reset, which is ridiculous, okay? If I'm going to complain about anything in a Pokemon game, it's the fact that I have to soft reset.
Yeah, but they have to buy a bunch of booster packs to get the cards they need.
Regardless,
unless they can just buy them.
They can sell the dupes. They can sell dupes. I can't sell eggs that don't hatch properly.
You just trade them away.
I don't get that time back at all. Which, by the way, kids, before Gen 6, Legendaries did not have a guaranteed 3 perfect IVs. So you are blessed. All of you. Blessed. Anyway.
Why don't we get on to the hype news?
This episode's going to be called Blue Rants. Well, I get
sick rants.
I get ranty when I'm sick, you guys.
Sick as in not the cool part, but the actual sick.
He's sick. I tried to say that in a sick kind of voice, but I don't think it came across as me being sick. Sick. Just sounds like I don't know how to talk properly.
You don't know how to talk properly.
So the big info that you guys are probably pretty hyped about, I would imagine, is the Pokemon news that got released on the 2nd of June, which is just a couple days ago. The Alola region has been expanded upon. So we've got 4 islands and 1 artificial island. So Alola, the Alola region, is comprised of 5 islands, and they have a bunch of undiscovered Pokemon, I guess. Professor Kukui is the game's professor, not the older-looking dude who had, like, no lab coat.
Is that a,
I can't remember his name.
Is that a tree?
Kukui, yeah. The Kukui tree. They were both named after trees, remember?
I know they were all named after trees, but I didn't realize Kukui was a tree.
It's native to Hawaii.
Hawaii. I understand that.
Lily is Kukui's quote-unquote mysterious assistant. I don't know what's going on with her, but she has braids in the shape of hearts for her hair. So perhaps that is the greatest mystery of all.
That is. No, it's not really a mystery.
I'm sorry. Can you braid your hair in hearts? Can you heart braid hair?
I mean, it's a Pokemon game, so...
Hashtag braid heart.
Braid heart? Instead of brave heart? I know there's crazy things to do with braids, but...
Lily does not look brave, by the way, just to clarify. she looks super sketch and terrified.
All right, let's just move on.
How is the official rival, even though I think you'll be playing within a group, similar to how you did in X and Y. So how I believe chooses the starter that is weak to your starter. So that's weird. That's never how it works. Maybe he chooses first and you get to choose second. Although then you'd only be able to choose from two. So that's not possible. I mean, it is possible, but it would be pretty dumb. And I don't want to be a part of that. So probably
not. I don't want to live in a world like that.
Maybe. I don't. Maybe he's just, you know, unique. And he's like, I'm so much better than you. I'm going to pick the one that's weak and then lose all the time. Backfired. Hashtag backfire. So that's a thing. A lot of people were kind of going on about the bracelets, I guess. The bracelets that sort of resemble the Fusion Rebirth gems. I honestly think it's probably just a different form of the Megastone bracelets.
Maybe they're just updating their tech.
Maybe. So, like, here's the thing. Like, I don't want to get all nerdy or anything, but Megastones...
Wait. You just said, I don't want to get all nerdy or anything, and you're talking on a Pokemon podcast. Come on.
It's about to get worse. So, geologic formations change based on atmosphere and climate. Things that formed in a region similar to that of France probably going to look very different compared to stones that form in a region like Hawaii.
Do you really think they would take geology into consideration?
I think they would.
Okay, then.
I told you it was going to get nerdy. Anyway, but I mean, I don't know, because here's the thing. Here's the thing that keeps bothering me. They look like the Rebirth gems, right? And now, trainers are visible alongside the Pokemon in the battle screen. So, could that be leading to other fusion-y developments? Maybe.
Fusion.
Fusion-y?
Fusion-ish. Fusion-y is not a word.
It is.
No.
To me, it is.
It is not a word.
Your characters are customizable, as we saw. Similar to that of the X and Y characters that you could pick. I don't know if it's been announced whether or not we'll be able to, like, change clothes and stuff like we did in the Kalos region.
I really hope so.
It's all y'all cares about. What'd you think of the girl?
I thought she's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. I like her shoes more than I like his shoes. His shoes are kind of weird. I'm not really digging, like, the little elf ball bell thing on the top of the ankle. That's kind of strange.
Maybe he was wearing, like, I mean, I don't really quite remember it. But maybe he was wearing, like, an ankle bracelet or something.
It was not.
It was part of the shoe?
It was very much a bell, where you would normally have laces, there was just a bell. And it was just there. And it confused me, but I was like, okay.
I'm going to have to investigate this later.
I will be changing those immediately, if I can. We got character customization back, which I thought was kind of strange because I remember Junichi Masuda saying that he wanted that particular aspect of the game to stay unique to certain regions, and Kalos was that region, which is why we didn't get the option again in Oris. So that tells me, right, that X and Y and Sun and Moon, or rather Kalos and Alola, will be connected somehow.
Interesting.
Because the styling options are similar. That he very much wanted to keep separate. Very much so. Because everybody complained in ours, like, oh, we can't customize characters. Well, number one, it was a remake. Which, I mean, still, you can remake stuff and then add options like that. I have no problem with that. But he was very adamant about keeping distinct characteristics of the region
well,
separate.
Well, I really hope that I can buy a coconut bra or something like that, because that just seems pretty
funny. You are
funny.
10. You. You are 10. Yellow.
I'm sorry. And a grass skirt, please.
10. I am so sorry. You know, it's kind of late. She's not thinking clear. I don't know what's up with her. Anyway, so
I will have you know that when I was 3, my mom dressed me up in a turtleneck and a coconut bra and a grass skirt for Halloween. And it was adorable.
Do the kids still say TMI? I think they do. TMI, Yellow. That stands for too much information.
It was a childhood Halloween costume.
So I bet you guys are probably more interested in the fact that Rotom is now in your Pokedex.
Yeah. I was like, what is this? What is going on?
Yeah, I made Yellow watch the trailer. We didn't play it in the background this time because it was so short. But Yellow hadn't seen it yet, so I made her watch it. And she was like, what? If you, like, you know, okay, you remember Home Improvement?
I was totally not like that. Don't even pretend.
It was a little like that.
No.
What? It was more like Valley Girl, like, what? Yeah.
You're totally lying.
I bet that sounds amazing right now as I'm sniffling. Jinx, y'all can't talk the rest of the episode. Anyway, so Rotom and the Pokedex. You can talk again. I'm sorry. Please talk.
You didn't buy me a Coke.
We don't have Coke.
That's true.
Yeah. The next generation of Pokedexes, as it was called, is being powered by Rotom, which the trailer also made a note that it's a whole new way for people in Pokemon to communicate. So the Pokedex actually not only acts as a Pokedex, it also acts as a navigation tool. So like a GPS almost.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And with the tech that I just alluded to advancing, this is probably part of that. So if they're advancing their tech with a Megastone bracelet thing, this is good. Good
Maybe.
Stuff.
That's possible. I don't know. Like, I guess it makes sense because, you know, Rotom inhabits machines.
Does that
and
mean
then
everyone automatically
work?
Has a Rotom? Because, like, so, you have to find him to make it work? Or
those,
like...
those of you guys in our chats, I think we pretty much covered them in all of them. Like, there was debate as to whether or not you'd be able to use the Rotom, but I'm like, well, a fainted Rotom I don't think can use a Pokedex. I think it's kind of a one-and-done scenario. I think once it gets in the Pokedex, it's there, and it's just,
it lives
he's
there
just,
forever?
He's just your buddy, and he's there.
I don't know if I like that.
I'm wondering if it's like the old school Game Boy where when the batteries ran out, your game cart got killed because it had like an internal timer. Like if Rotom leaves the Pokedex, like all your information is just gone.
That would suck. I don't like
so the, advanced. Yeah,
I
the
mean,
fatal flaw.
I don't really like that idea because I feel like they're kind of like animals and I wouldn't want to trap my animal inside of a tiny box.
I am going to be sniffling through this entire episode. I just realized it 50 minutes later. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really know what the... Okay, so at least Rotom can, like, talk to you in the Pokedex.
Yeah.
When Pokemon are in a Pokeball, they're
no.
just... They're there, man. So, I don't... Your argument is invalid, I
That's
think.
That's true. Darn it. But at least they get to, like, come out and, you know, get healed up and bathe. Battle and stuff
Rotom
like that.
Is a ghost electrical charge. He's a thing of plasma.
Whatever. But
you want to bathe plasma?
You know when they go to like the Pokemon Center and they get all healed up, and I just imagine that they like get a bath or you know rejuvenated somehow as well.
Well, maybe you'll appreciate the legendaries. Maybe. Do you appreciate the legendaries?
Honestly, I'm not a big fan of these legendaries.
What? No.
I am,
so, first
I'm not,
of all...
mainly just because of the design. But that's just me.
How dare you. First of all, Solgaleo is amazing.
I mean, he looks kind of badass, but I'm just...
It is a psychic steel type, like Metagross, whom is very dear to my heart. Did I use whom correctly? Probably not. It has full metal body, which is actually exactly like clear body, I think. It prevents stat drops. It has the signature move, Sun Steel Strike, which is not resisted against Salamence, so it is probably a physical steel type attack, not a fire type attack.
That's interesting.
Did anybody notice that? Maybe. I don't know. Salamence would definitely resist a fire type attack, though. And it didn't. And it wasn't super effective, which I don't think electrical attacks... I think those are neutral. But either way, I don't think dragon resists steel. So I'm pretty sure it's a physical steel type attack. It looks physical. And I mean, the name alone, Sun Steel Strike...
Strike means something physical.
It makes me think physical, yeah. Likewise, Lunala... What's my name?
Lunala.
What's my name?
It's awful.
You guys are going to be singing that the rest of the day, and you know it. Anywho, I bet that sounded great.
Ugh. You're getting more raspy as we keep going.
I am.
You can do your Batman voice.
Not well. Anyway. So Psychic Ghost is Lunala, that bat-looking thingy. It is psychic. It is ghost. It has Shadow Shield, which lowers damage taken by half from attacks when HP is at max. So pretty much multi-scale. That's a thing. Its signature move is Moongeist Beam, which is super effective against Gengar. So it's probably a ghost attack. Mainly because Moongeist sounds like Moon Ghost. And then Beam sounds special. So it's probably a special attack. I don't know of any beam attack that is physical in the game. If there is, let me know, and I will put my foot in my mouth, which I do pretty often. But it makes me think that that is a special ghost attack. So yeah, that's pretty cool. I dig it. I feel like one of them has a very specific competitive edge over the other, namely Lunala, I think.
Really?
Yeah, okay.
I just assumed it would be the other one because he's more physical and he's similar to Metagross.
So when you have psychic ghost typing, which is the same as Hoopa, I believe, that is crazy weak to dark, crazy weak to ghost. Like, you definitely need a multi-skill, like, ability for so many reasons. Mainly because of all the priority that ghost and dark attacks get. So... I don't know. I mean, clear body or full metal body, like, that's cool too. If it prevented you from getting statused, that would be busted. And I would love it. Because that's, like, the one thing, like, when you have clear body Metagross, right, people just will-o-wisp you. And it always hits, because that's the game. But if full metal body prevented you from getting statused, that would be sweet. So sweet. I'd be so happy about that. It probably won't, because that would be, like, entirely busted. Like, so busted. On the other hand, these are legendaries, so.
Yeah, you might not be able to even use them after this year.
I'm wondering,
like, competitively.
I don't think
you can use Hoopa yet competitively.
So, the game comes out in November. I don't think these games will actually be involved with VGC 2016, but if they have a similar format next year, which I really hope they don't, we might be looking at using Solgaleo and Lunala in VGC.
I like how you sing her name. I'm assuming it's a her.
It's an it.
It's an it.
They're probably gender neutral, if I had to take a guess. Probably gender neutral.
Did we learn anything else?
We did not. That was pretty much it. Pretty cool stuff. The attacks look really sweet. Rotom Dex. Dextom.
I'm going to be...
Rodex.
I kind of want one in real life.
Dexter, the original talking Pokedex.
Yeah.
Anybody that watched the anime knows what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it should be cool. I'm excited. That was, like, just the right amount of information, too. It wasn't too much. It was an equal amount of informative but also stupid hype news, like Rotom Dex, but also, like, giving us the insight on the legendaries a little bit. So that was pretty cool.
I liked it.
I enjoyed the information. And actually, Japan, we're going to link you to the trailer if you guys haven't seen it. Who are we kidding? You have. We are going to link you guys to the Japan Pokemon YouTube channel released a bunch of little trailers. They're like 10 seconds long that kind of go in depth into like the specific things that they highlighted overall in the English trailer. So if you guys want to check those out, you should, because it would be dope. And then that leads us to the end of the episode, which I know we talked about some stuff, and a lot of it was, I don't know,
newsy.
It was newsy stuff. We haven't done that in a little while.
I feel like these episodes are a little bit more casual just because there's so much news and we're...
Yeah, we're so casual.
We're trying to get you
we
content.
We are quite possibly the most casual of all the Pokemon podcasts.
I don't know if that's true, but okay, I'll go with it.
I'm tired and I don't feel good.
All right, so is there...
But
any...
I wanted to get an episode out to you guys. So here's the dealio, guys.
Guys.
Yeah, and girls. Guys and girls. We have a citizen of the episode. I'm not going to call it citizen of the week because they're not weekly anymore. So citizen of the episode. We have one this week, this episode.
Let's just keep calling it citizen of the week. Because...
Literally just got done saying I was going to say that. So this time... Nah. I did it.
Citizen of the time? I don't think so.
Citizen of the times. For episode 43, is that what episode this is?
Yes.
Great. So episode 43, Citizen of
the
Kanto Nation. It's a hot mess. Mighty Mamoswine. I know that he makes jokes about how badly he wanted Citizen of the Week, but I think that proper tribute is due because he has definitely done a lot for me. He is a big... member of the Kanto Nation community, and he's graduating, and
he has graduated.
He did graduate. He's doing all the things, all the times. I didn't get to see him in Florida because I couldn't go. I might see him in Nats. Nick's parents, if you're listening, it'll be fun.
We'll buy him ice cream.
Yes, Jenny's ice cream. Hashtag Jenny's ice cream. Probably not the right hashtag, but it's not about Jenny's ice cream. It's about Nick, aka Mighty Mamoswine, who is the Citizen of the Week. We're keeping it Citizen of the Week because it just rolls off the tongue so well.
And that's because that's what I have it listed on the website.
The Follow Me Citizen of the Week. I was waiting for Hila to say that, but she didn't.
We haven't done this in so long, and you've really like got me all confused.
I know. So, Nick, thank you for doing all the things that you do when you do them. Everybody, if you're not following Mighty Mamoswine, go do that. And give internet high fives all around. He's a good guy. And I've had the pleasure to be able to interact with him through not only KantoCast, but through leagues and then the GBA, the CIL, stuff like that. So definitely go check him out and say what's up. Because he's earned it. And he's been at it for a while. He's been on the show twice, I think.
Wow, you're really ranting about this Nick character.
He is a character. And he's so young. He has his whole life ahead of him. Anywho, speaking of competitions, because I think I was, the Legendless competition is coming up. The Legend, wait for it, less competition is happening.
It starts on the 7th. Which I believe is a Tuesday. If you want more information, there's a link in the description, and it's also on the website.
That was so helpful.
You're welcome. Not that you actually said thank you, but...
Did I really need to? By the way, in case you guys were wondering, the posters that Yellow made, like forever ago, they exist. We wanted to wait until after the t-shirt stuff got settled. So if you didn't get a t-shirt and you want a poster, we have a first-gen citizen poster going up soon. Be sure to double-check us on Twitter for that. I think I found a way to make them cheaper.
It's on the website. You can go to website, and there's a... On the header, it says shop, and if you click shop, you can find our merch there, and in that page, you find the poster, and I just have to set up the purchase button for that. So that should be set up within the week. And someone needs to order the posters.
Curious. Yeah.
Meaning blue.
Yeah. Well, okay, I think I found a way to make them cheaper for you guys, but I don't, shipping is weird, so... As soon as I get shipping figured out, it's a done deal, and they're going to be pretty reasonably affordable. So if the t-shirt was kind of out of your budget, which I don't blame you if it was, this will definitely be closer in your wheelhouse, I think. If you still want some KantoCast memorabilia, totally up to you. Your call. We're close to the capture card, by the way, guys. I got some holiday pay coming up that I'm going to put in the pot. You guys over on Patreon, thank you guys for your contributions. Anybody that contributes to our fundraisers, thank you for that so much. It's freaking ridiculous how generous you guys are. We don't deserve it. But we're close to the capture card. You guys know that we're streaming now. You've seen our ugly mugs on the internet, so that should come to no shock to you.
Oh, yeah. People on the podcast don't know, if they're not following us, that we showed our faces.
Yeah, we had a hype, a Twitch hype trailer reveal.
Which is on the website as well.
Yeah, it's there. So I guess you can go check that out. But on this note, I wanted to add that team reviews are still a thing. And I didn't talk about this episode because we're going to do that next episode because we had some news to go over and stuff like that. But we're all caught up to date now. So team reviews are changing just a wee bit. I'm still going to go over them on the show. But I know a lot of you expressed that you wanted, like, the builds and stuff in the description or something like that. I'm actually going to do a separate video on the YouTube channel and kind of play around with the team and show you guys the builds and any kind of mods I would do or anything like that. So that way you guys get to see me, like, try and learn the team a little bit too. And then, you know, obviously the person who submits the team gets the added benefit of seeing the team played in kind of a different way maybe than what they would have. So everybody benefits. That's the main point that I'm making with that. But team reviews are going to get a little more in depth that way. So definitely looking forward to that. All we're missing, honestly, is the layout, which Yael is really good at making. So
I will do one this weekend, hopefully.
Woo! That's exciting.
Yeah.
So that's happening. Just lots of stuff, man. Let me know what you guys want to see when we get the capture card, because I'm honestly thinking in like a couple weeks. Like, it's going to be soon. I don't know how quick I'm going to get it back, but I think probably mid-July I'm going to order that puppy. And yeah, it's going to be great. Probably.
I can't wait to play more bad Pokemon.
Woo! Also, happy anniversary to us, I guess. We just had an anniversary, but this is our wedding anniversary that's coming up, and I doubt that we're going to get another episode up by the 8th, which is our actual anniversary.
No, definitely not. That's not happening.
Yeah, so happy anniversary to Yellow. If you guys follow us on Twitter, you guys saw that I got her, which she's been wanting since how long? How long we've been wanting a Mac?
I've been wanting a Mac since, like, high school.
Mm.
So, like, 10 years.
I have been wanting Fire Emblem Fates Special Edition for, like, a year.
Oh, okay. It said it went up on GameStop the other day, and
it did.
I like went
for
there
for like half a second,
and it was there. And then I put it in my cart, and then it disappeared. And then I put it back in my cart, and then it disappeared. And then it was gone.
Yep.
I think you might have to let the special edition
no!
dream die.
No, because here's the thing. Like, part of me is like, okay, I need to get this very important piece of Fire Emblem memorabilia.
Okay.
But the other thing is, it has all three games on a single cartridge.
Okay, I can get it for you.
And my OCD is crazy.
I can get it for you.
I'm not paying $300.
But it's going to be $300.
I'm not. That's ridiculous. My frugalness always trumps my crazy fandom, like, every single time. And those of you who are scalping it for that much,
shame
on you.
You're
the worst. You're literally the worst person ever. You're worse than Smeargle.
Okay, so when I found
you're
out...
You're not worse than Smeargle.
When I found out that they were going for $300, I almost just, any time that it comes up, automatically just wanted to put two in my cart, just in case.
And then sell the other for six.
And sell the other one. Not even for $300.
Then you'd be, like, the doubly worst kind of person in the world.
No, I'd sell it for, like, $100 or something. I wouldn't, like, gouge people, but...
Sell it for, like, $100.
I don't know.
It'll be fine.
Maybe it would be gone
like in an instant.
Not that I can actually get it.
Nope. Never. So, yeah. Yellow is enjoying her Mac. I'm sure she's going to do nerdy graphic things with it.
I already downloaded all my preferred applications.
I'm not at all surprised by that.
But now I have to figure out, like, a really awesome present for you, and it's going to suck because I can't really
talk
that.
I don't really need anything. I'm good.
You...
So mad. She's so mad all the time.
You
guys
never give me good hints on, like, gifts. Not, like, not GIFs, but gifts. Because you pretty much...
I was trying to come up with a pun involving someone who's choosing gifts. But I couldn't. Probably because I'm sick and my brain doesn't work right.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you have enjoyed episode 43 and all of its
randomness,
weirdness, Smeargle bashing, and Fire Emblem Fates Desires.
That was just a tiny bit at the end.
It's always present. Let's be real. It's always present.
Too bad it won't be your present.
That was lame. Patreon members, thank you guys so much for your support. Everybody in the Kanto Nation, thank you for listening and your tweets and your interactions and all of that stuff. Mostly your listens, because listening is what gives us a reason to make this. And that
not disappear from the internet entirely.
That makes making a podcast way more fun when someone actually listens to it. Those of you guys who are going to Nats, I will see you there. Those of you guys going to Worlds, I will also see you there. Nats is coming up. Get ready. I got my KanoCast shirt ready, yellow.
I got mine too.
Has hers ready. I hope all of you guys got your shirts by now.
It's going to be so... these trips are going to be insane. And not just because we're going places and doing things.
It's
going
to be good.
It's because of family. Because when we're in Nats, we have to visit family. And then when we go to Worlds, my family has to come visit us. And that's going to be another thing.
We're going to visit you guys, which is more important.
Yes.
So again, thank you guys for listening. We love and appreciate you, and there's nothing you can do about it. As always, I am Blue.
I'm Yellow.
And we will catch you next time. Hello. Welcome.
Welcome to KanoCast. This is Blue and Yellow.
My name is KanoCast Blue. I don't want to talk loud because I am not feeling great.
You're not feeling well.
I'm just gonna do the whole episode. Hello, and welcome to KantoCast, episode 40 something.
43.
Episode 43. That's a 4 and a 3. But not the other way around.
You're just playing it up.
I am KantoCast Blue. As always, I am joined by my wife. She goes by Yellow. In case you were wondering, those are our real names. And my head feels like it has a vice on it. Also, every time I feel like I have to sneeze, my eyes water profusely. It's a problem. Hello.
Hello, and welcome to and welcome KantoCast.
To the KantoCast. My name Blue.
My name Yellow.
And this is internet podcast where we talk all Pokemon things.
Pokemons.
This is... Podcast
for Pokemons and stuff.
This is KantoCast. My name Blue.
My name Yellow.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to KantoCast. My name is Blue.
My name is Yellow.
And I'm joined by Yellow, my wife. And, we really enjoy talking to y'all. It's a great experience.
Did you just say y'all and I?
Y'all, yeah.
Really? That's...
That's a thing.
That's a thing?
That's probably a thing, yeah.
I don't know that they say y'all.
I think it is, yeah. I think I just made it a thing. I'm sick and my name is Blue. Welcome to KantoCast. I'm gonna open every show like that from now on. I have nodes.
Nodes? You have nodes and notes.
Because of my nodes. As always, I am KantoCast Blue. That's not how my outro goes. As always, I am Blue.
I'm Yellow.
And we will catch you next time.
Next time.
You didn't say it when I said it. Bam!
was awful.
I thought it was good.